by. I can see it in their eyes, empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord?
Jonah. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word, just out of respect to this word. Jonah chapter 1. If you can't find Jonah, it's okay. Half the other people can't either. Jonah is one of the small books at the end of the Old Testament. If you say, hey, I don't have a Bible, there's this great app. It's a free app on your mobile device. It's called YouVersion, and you can download it for free, and it's got all the scriptures there. It's so cool. You can even put a reading plan there, and it can shoot you a reminder every day so you can read your next chapter. I use YouVersion. It's been a great help to me. But Jonah chapter number 1, as we read the word of God together. And I appreciate you guys giving me some liberty just to take some time in prayer. And just remember, Jesus called his house a house of prayer, not necessarily a house of preaching. And preaching is very important. We understand that God uses preaching to save them that are lost, but Jesus said that his house is a house of prayer. And may we never neglect prayer in the house of the living God. So Jonah chapter number 1, we're going to read some verses out of a common Bible story, but we are going to look at it in maybe an uncommon way. The Bible says in Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. So Jonah's going away from God, and it made him, he had to pay for it. We always have to pay when we go away from God. The Bible says, and went down into it, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. We're going to fast forward, and we're going to look at verse number 15. So maybe you have to turn a page or something like that. And we're going to look at verse number 15, verse 15 through 17. Appreciate you guys following along so well. The outline is in the bulletin, some quotes and things. Maybe that'll help you better follow along if you would like to take advantage of that. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared, this was a God-ordained event, he had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. While man often runs from God, God in his love and his grace pursues after man. Lord, I ask you that you would just use your word. I need your help. I need your grace as I speak about your grace. I am asking you that you would work in our hearts in this room, that you would remove the distractions, that we could just be zoned in or to what your spirit wants to say to us. God, maybe you want to speak one way to one person, a different way to another, but I just pray that your will would be done in our midst this morning in our gathering. I ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The story of Jonah is as much about a God that pursued after man as it is a man that ran after God, ran away from God. The story of Jonah is not a story about how God got angry with Jonah, but it's a story about how God loved Jonah so much that he pursued after him when he did not want to be pursued. God pursued Jonah when Jonah made the decision that he was going to live life on his terms in his way. God said, I love you too much to let you go. I heard a statement made by Brother Shamsuddin several months ago, and I wrote it down in my Bible, and I've never forgotten it. God loves us too much to allow us to be disobedient. We hear the story of Jonah, and before we're very critical about Jonah, about how he ran from God, we have to remember where God was telling Jonah to go, what God was telling Jonah to do. God was telling Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh. Now, if you study history a little bit, we would understand that Nineveh was one of the leading cities in the Assyrian Empire. In fact, Nineveh was the second largest city next up to Babylon there in the Assyrian Empire. Nineveh was not known to invite people over for a cup of coffee and a slice of pie. Nineveh was known as a place that was very, they were known for their war, they were known for the way they treated their enemies. And studying history this week, spending some time meditating on some history books and seeing some things there, I found out some things about Nineveh. Some of them are too gruesome. There would be no way I would say them publicly, some of the things that they did to the people that they caught, their captives. But one thing they did is they were known to go to a village, as cruel as this is. But what they would do is they would go and kill everybody in that village, skin them alive, and they would put the skin of those bodies on the walls of the city. They were also known to go into cities, cut everybody's heads off, decapitate everybody, and make a pyramid in front of the city they just conquered. So when somebody would walk by that city and think about taking over Nineveh and challenging Nineveh, they would see those heads. God was telling Nineveh to do something that I wouldn't want to do. And God was telling Jonah to do something that you wouldn't want to do. God was telling Jonah to go to a place of fierce people and go and tell those people that if you don't repent and get right with God, God's going to destroy you. Any takers lined up to do that? Not me. It's interesting about the history of Nineveh. Nineveh was actually built under the leadership of Nimrod. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 10, verse 11, out of the land went forth Ashur and builded Nineveh and the city of Rehoboth and Caleb. So we have Nimrod, who was not a follower of God by any stretch of the imagination. Nimrod led in the beginning of the building of Nineveh. So we have Nineveh got off to a start, not based on the truth of Scripture, but based on this man, Nimrod. Under the rule of the Assyrian Empire, Nineveh was a city known for its violence, for its wickedness, and God tells Jonah, I want you to go there. Have you ever done something in life that you really don't want to do? Maybe it was that meeting that you had that you did not want to go to. Maybe it was that appointment. Maybe it was the dentist. Amen and amen. Maybe it was the root canal, whatever it was. You had to do something that you did not want to do. I think we've all been there. Last Sunday night, I was there in a very real and a very hard way. I made a mistake. I make a lot of those. I made a big mistake last Sunday night. I have an iPad, and who's got iPads in here? Let's take a poll. iPads, okay. Those of you that had your hand up, okay, how many of you love your iPad? Oh, come on, no iPad. How many of you guys have a tablet from the, okay, all right. Oh, we have more tablet people than iPad people. We gotta work on that, oh man. All right, I have an iPad, and I was talking on the phone actually to George. I called him, and I had my iPad in one hand. I was on the phone in the other, and I had to get in the car, of course. I was heading home, and I put the iPad on top of the car, and you guys know, you guys already know. I don't even need to finish it. Let's go home. No, I'm just kidding. Had the phone in there, and I put the iPad on top, got in the car. I was really into the phone conversation with George or whatever. I don't know what we were talking about, but I pulled out, and I got to my destination, and I immediately got out, and I went in the back seat and said, oh, it's right there. Well, it's not there, okay. And then I went and looked on the passenger seat and said, well, it's not in the back seat, then I had to leave it there, you know. It wasn't there. And immediately, it hit me. I remembered. Has that ever happened to you? It's like you're looking for something, or something happens, and then it's like you remember that memory that you do not want to remember. It was like that. And I remember iPad on top of the car. Immediately, I went back right in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue. Literally a second after I saw it, a car had driven over it. It was very apparent that was not the first car that had driven over it. The screen looked like somebody shot it up with an AR-15 or something. There were holes all around the side. And that night, I had to take my beloved iPad. It was, I know, somebody said, go get a new screen, pay your 50. I'm telling you, that thing was done for. That thing was shot. It had lived, it was gone. I'm just going to cry just thinking about it. But anyways, I took that iPad, I went over to the trash can, and I dropped it in there. I didn't want to do that, but I had to. And we've all done things in life that we don't want to do, but we have to do. Jonah, God was calling him to do something that he did not want to do. And in fact, he said, I don't want to do it. So he did his own thing. And that is where we're going to pick up the message today. Number one, God called Jonah. Number one, God called Jonah. Verse number one. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, right there. The book of Jonah is the only book in the Bible that is not about a prophet's message, because Jonah was a prophet. A prophet was somebody that would prophesy about the future. Jonah is the only book in the Bible that is not about a prophet, not about the prophet's message, but is only about the prophet's life. And the book of Jonah is a book that is just about the life of Jonah. And I think it's safe to, I think it'd be safe to assume that we all can relate to Jonah, because there are all times in our lives where we take steps away from God, where we go away from God, where we know some things that God wants us to do, but we make some decisions, and maybe it's because we have some pressure, some things in our lives, but we make some decisions that would be contrary to the Word of God. I love this quote. It says, from Jonah we learn about the danger we experience when we run from God's will, the deliverance we experience when we submit to God's will, the deliverance others experience when we fulfill God's will, and the depression we experience when we question God's will. What did Jonah do? Well, it's very simple. Letter A, Jonah went the opposite direction. Jonah went the opposite direction. Verse number three. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says he fled from the presence of God. Jonah went, Tarshish is 2,500 miles away. He literally went to the end of the known world. He couldn't go any further. So he got as far away from the call of God as he possibly could. And that's what we do. Okay, when we start kind of slipping a little bit, and we all do, can we just be real and say we all slip and kind of take some steps away from God? Whether it's intentional or not, we all do it. Usually what we do is we kind of do it slowly. And we kind of justify it a little bit. Well, I got this going, I got a lot. You know, I can't go to that, I can't do outreach, like whatever. And we kind of justify it. With Jonah, there was no justification, brother. You went 2,500 miles away, you paid the fare, you said, God, peace out, I'm doing my own thing, and went the complete opposite direction. The awesome thing is he ditched God, but get this, God never ditched him. He ditched God, but God never ditched him. I don't know if you've ever gone the wrong direction before, but I read a story this past week of a football game in 1929. It was the Rose Bowl game, and it was a game between Cal and Georgia Tech, and there was a fumble at the line of scrimmage, and the defensive back for Cal, his name was Roy Riggles, he picked up the ball, and with all the commotion going on, he picked it up, and he went towards the wrong end zone. Immediately, his teammates came chasing after him, and they tackled him down, and they threw him down. What are you doing? The crowd started booing. It was a crazy sight. That was before halftime. At halftime, he goes in, and he's sitting down away from the team. It was a tight game. The final score actually was 7-6. So it was a tight game. He's sitting there at the end, away from all his teammates. He's sitting there, didn't know what to do. The coach, Clarence Price, walked up and said, "Remember, the game's only half over. Get back in the game." And without words of advice, he played one of the best halves of football he's ever had. Maybe some of us have been going in the opposite direction for a little while, but I got great news. The game is not over. But I want us to think for a minute. Letter B, this could be the end. Literally, verse number 3 could be the end of Jonah. Like, this could be the end of the book of Jonah, verses 1-3, okay? We don't have to finish verse 3. Start of verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Peace out. Jonah's life is gone. We heard nothing else about Jonah. Like, really? Like, this could be the end. This could be the time where God says, "All right, Jonah, well, you ran from me. That's it. See you later." And that really could be the end. No Nineveh. No book of Nahum. None of this other stuff. This could be the end of the life of Jonah. It could be. I remember when I was a junior in college, I had a friend. I mean, he was a freshman. He came in, one of the best musicians I've ever seen in my life, very talented. And we would go out every Saturday night, and we would watch college football. Amen. We're just a couple months away. I cannot wait. Let's see if the SEC is going to win another championship. But anyways, it's going to be a great season coming up. But we would go religiously every Saturday night. We'd pick a restaurant. I'd pick one Saturday. He'd pick the next. And it was just kind of understood. You know, you got like friends like that where it's like, you don't even have to text them. You just know we're getting together. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to be, you know, having a good time. We all have friends like that. And this was our friendship. Well, for whatever reason, you know, he started hanging out with some different people, and we never had like I never yelled at him, or he never yelled at me. We didn't have like some breakup or whatever, but we just kind of started going our separate ways. You know, like, he hung out with different people. I hung out with different people. It was, you know, it was kind of like, I would see him and say, "Hey, what's up, bro?" He would see me and say, "Hey, what's up, bro?" Whatever. And that's all it was. Like, the relationship kind of like, he went his way, I kind of went my way, and he was happy with that, and I was happy with that. And I mean, we're friends or whatever on Facebook. I follow him on Twitter. He follows me. But I mean, that's about it. And Jonah went one way away from God. And if God was like me, he would have gone the other way. But it wasn't like that at all. Jonah went one way, and God chased after him. We often think that the story of Jonah as Operation Nineveh, when really it was Operation Jonah. Let's think for a second. If God only was trying to reach Nineveh, he would have raised up a man that was willing to go. If God only wanted to reach Nineveh, he would have raised up somebody that was surrendered, that was humble, somebody that he could use to go to Nineveh. He would have raised up somebody that would have said, "God, pick me, I want to go to Nineveh." But he didn't do that. He picked the man that had a stubborn heart, a rebellious heart, that wanted nothing to do with God. And he said, "I want you to do it." Why? Because God was more interested in the worker. God was more interested in Jonah than he was in Nineveh. And sometimes we wonder, "Well, God, you just want me to work for you. God, you just want me to do this for you. No, God loves you. God cares for you. And God is more interested in the worker than he is in the work." And this leads us to my favorite point of the message, number 2. This is when we really get a picture of God's massive grace. Of God's massive grace. Because Jonah ran from God, we get to see just a brief snapshot in the book of Jonah of the grace of an amazing, unbelievable God. And notice I didn't say the punishment of God. Verses 4 and 5, "The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." There's a huge storm that comes upon the ship. A storm that the sailors, no doubt they had been trained, they knew what they were doing in the Mediterranean, they start throwing things out. They're trying to keep the ship afloat. They don't want the ship to sink. They're worried, they're troubled, and all of a sudden Jonah's down there in the bottom of the ship, he's sleeping. They immediately go to him and say, "Dude, what's going on? Wake up." And they begin questioning him. You read verses 6-7, they've been questioning, "What are you doing, man?" And notice Jonah's reply in verse number 8. Then they said to him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is your occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Liar. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. So watch this. Jonah's running away from God, and he's saying, oh, guys, I fear the Lord. I'm in Hebrew. If you fear the Lord, that doesn't mean like being scared, but it means having like a healthy respect, a respect of God, an understanding of who he is. Watch this. He is saying that he respects God. If he respected God and he followed God, guess what? He wouldn't be on that ship. Do you know what that tells me? Jonah was away from God, but he still would give lip service to the fact that he was following God. The Bible says very clearly, there are those that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. It takes nothing to say that you're godly. It takes something different to live the life that follows that. And I'm scared we've created a culture in our Christianity in America of people that claim the name of Christ and their life does not back that up. We have people that say they love Christ, people say they follow Christ, and you could look at things and it's like, the things that they do, and I'm not being judgmental, I'm just saying how it is. If you are going to claim the name of Christ, then you better follow Christ. The Bible says in John, Jesus says, if you love me, very simple, keep my commandments. And Jonah was away from God, but he told these sailors, hey, I fear God. The storm that God sent was not a result of his anger towards Jonah, but his affection for Jonah. Letter A, God was interested in Jonah. God was interested in Jonah. Jonah is not here. He's not running from God just physically. He's running from God spiritually. This is what Jonah thinks. He's convinced himself of this fact. It would have been easy to do knowing how the city of Nineveh was. But Jonah thinks that if he goes to Tarshish, his life will be better. If Jonah does it his way, his life will be more comfortable. If Jonah does it his way and, you know, he can get to Tarshish, then things will be better. And Jonah has convinced himself that if he doesn't follow God's will, then it'll be better for him. That's what Jonah's convinced himself. If he didn't convince himself, then why else would he do it? If Jonah thought that God's way was best, he would not be headed to Tarshish. When we run from God, we never want what we find when we get there. Jonah's running from God. And Jonah finds himself in the midst of a terrible storm. Jonah finds himself in a midst of a terrible trial because he's been running from God. And God says, look, Jonah, I love you too much to let you go and ruin your life in Tarshish. You have to get to Nineveh because get this, Jonah, the only way you're going to have the fulfillment in your life that you want, the only way you're going to have the peace that you're seeking, the only way the needs of your soul will be met is if you follow me and go to Nineveh. This was not God saying, I'm mad at you. Here's a baseball bat. Here's the fish. You're going to be punished. No, this was God saying, Jonah, you're going away from my will. You'll only be happy if you're doing what I want you to do. You'll only have fulfillment that you're looking for in everything else if you follow me. And Jonah, I have to rescue yourself. I have to rescue you from yourself. If it takes a ship, if it takes a storm, if it takes a boat, whatever it takes, I want you to come back to me. I want you to experience life with me. And sometimes in our lives, we are seeking fulfillment in everything else. And sometimes God, in his massive grace, brings things in our life because he knows the only way we can experience true life is found in Jesus Christ. It seems to be the people that we are trying to pursue are the people that are the most miserable. It seems to me that we think if we have another car, another house, more money, then we'll be happy. I think of Corey Monteith, one of the stars on the show Glee. I don't know anything about it, but just last weekend he was found at the Fairmont Pacific Rim Hotel, just a 31-year-old man in Vancouver, British Columbia. They found him dead from an overdose of heroin mixed with alcohol. Money, fame, dead. Drugs. I think of Jeff Hanneman, a member of the band Slayer, died just 3 months ago, less than 3 months ago, from liver failure at the age of 49. I think of Heath Ledger in 2008, at the age of 28, died from an overdose in his Manhattan apartment. I think of John Belushi in 1982, and literally, we could stand here all day. I found a website with literally hundreds of these famous people that died well before their life's years. John Belushi in 1982 died at the age of 34 from an overdose of heroin and cocaine. Sometimes it seems like the people that look like they have it all together are the people that don't have anything together. Sometimes the people that we try to emulate, that we think, if only I can get that job, that this, if I can get there, I'll be happy. Sometimes when we get there, we are very disappointed because we find that it's not that what we think it will give us, it never does. A.W. Pink made this astonishing statement: the greatest mistake made by people is hoping to discover in themselves that which can only be found in Christ alone. God had Jonah's best interest in mind all along. God had a plan for Jonah to be an instrument through which his amazing grace could flow. And Jonah decided, I don't want to be the instrument of grace. I don't want to be the person that's going to follow you. I don't want to do that. And because God was interested in Jonah, God brought an undesirable circumstance. I want you to know, whatever you did last week, whatever you did 10 years from now, whatever you did 10 years ago, whatever you do 15 years from now, God is interested in you. I read this past week, there was somebody that, I saw a picture, and there was a lady there, and she's having some troubles, and she was convinced that God was mad at her. She was convinced that God didn't love her because of the way she acted. I want you to know that God loves you, and God loved Jonah, and because God loved Jonah, let her be, God didn't give up on Jonah. And because God loves you, God will never give up on you. The amazing thing about God is that He runs after us. Even when you tell Him no, He still runs after you. Maybe He'll bring an appointment our way. Maybe He'll bring a scripture our way. Maybe He'll bring a health ailment our way. Maybe He'll bring a relationship our way. Maybe He will bring a medical difficulty or something that really is God's grace trying to help us. God never gives up on His people because God loves His people. The name that sticks out to me is the name of Peter in the New Testament. The Bible says in Luke chapter 22, Peter sat down amongst them, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." This is Peter, right before the crucifixion. Shortly before the resurrection was going to happen, before the crucifixion, Jesus said, "Look, you're going to deny me three times. Peter, I will never deny you." Here Peter's warming his hands up by the campfire. And here's Peter being questioned. "Do you know the Messiah? Do you know that Christ?" Peter says, "I know nothing about him," and cusses Jesus. But the amazing thing is just 40 days later, at the day of Pentecost, after the Passover, 40 days comes, and then the day of Pentecost, there is a man that is standing up filled with the Spirit of God, in the power of God, proclaiming the word of God, and sees 3,000 people put their trust in Christ. And that should have never been Peter. But the same man that 40 days ago said, "I don't know anything about Jesus. I don't know anything about him." Jesus was using that man to literally influence the world. Somebody that just cursed him, Jesus was still using him. And sometimes we think, "I've done too many things bad. I've done this." God, no, God will. Not because of you, but because of grace. And God's massive grace is something that we cannot fathom. Because God says, "Though you've done this to me, though you've done that, I still want you." Nothing you can do will make God love you more. And nothing you can do will make God love you less. Nothing you can do will make God love you more. And nothing you can do will make God love you less. Look, if you are here because you are trying to get God's love on your life, don't need to be here. God already loves you. If you read your Bible because you're trying to gain favor with God and you want to be standing before God and say, "God, look what I've done for you." Guess what? God loves you if you read your Bible or not. Yeah, honestly, He does. If you come to outreach because you're like, "Man, God, you're going to be mad at me if I don't." Look, God still loves you. It is a big difference when we live from our identity of love instead of trying to earn an identity of love. Did you get that? It's a big difference when we live from an identity of love instead of trying to earn an identity of love. You that are married, if you have to do things to earn your love, if you have to do things that you feel in your mind has to earn love with your spouse, it's going to be frustrating. But when you do things because you love your spouse, it is a liberating thing. And I want us to know that God comes after Jonah not because He needs Jonah, but because Jonah needs God. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. But God wants me, and God wants you. Number three, and we're finished today. God brought desperation so God could bring restoration. God brought desperation so God could bring restoration. In verses 15 through 17, we see the great fish that comes and swallows up Jonah. I love what Paul Tripp says, God will often bring you to a place that you do not want to go in order to produce in you what you could not achieve on your own. God will often bring you to a place you do not want to go in order to achieve in order to produce in you what you could not achieve on your own. The place that you're in, the trial that you're in, the difficulty that you're in is not an accident, it is an appointment from Almighty God. God is not in the accident-making business, and he certainly wasn't with Jonah either. It was not mere coincidence that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. This was not accidental, but providential. Notice letter A, the preparations of God. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, verse number 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. God had prepared the fish for Jonah. God knew what Jonah was going to do. God knew where Jonah went. And God, in his grace and his mercy, had this fish prepared to intersect providentially in the life of Jonah, to get Jonah back where God wanted him to be. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The belly of the fish was not Jonah's prison or death chamber, but it was only a temporary hospital for his soul. The belly of the fish was not about physical survival. It was about spiritual revival. God is the great pursuer going after people and working in the hearts of people so they can go to a place that they could never go on their own. Because the incomplete joys of this world will never satisfy the human heart. The incomplete joys of this world will never satisfy the human heart. You could double your net income in 2014 next year as you did this past year. That would be awesome. But guess what? That's not going to satisfy the needs of your soul. You could get any house you want. You could go to any beach you want and get a beachfront mansion, and that will not satisfy the needs of your human heart. And God is going to prepare things in your life to bring you close to him and get you back to where you need to go. And to be honest, some of us are running from God right now, but we don't think we are. We have made claims, I fear the Lord, but our actions say otherwise. And it might be God's grace that God has brought this message. I don't want to preach this message. I want to preach something different. But God has brought this message for you to understand that God's grace is pursuing after you to get you back. Jonah needed Nineveh. Nineveh never needed Jonah. The work of God doesn't need you. You need the work of God. God's going to get on fine without you, but you need God. We ask God often, why have you brought me to this place? Why the struggle? Why this and why that? Why can't I have things go the way I plan them to be? And tonight at 5 o'clock we have a completely different service. I don't know if you know that or not. It's different from this service, and we're talking about trials out of 1 Timothy chapter 1, and oh my goodness, it's just an incredible thing talking about why. God answers some questions of why we have trials. I hope you'll be back for that. It will definitely be the better of the two messages today. But why do we struggle? Why do these things happen? It's because God prepares them for us. Letter B, the place of decision for Jonah. The place of decision for Jonah. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah is in the midst of a terrible, to say it lightly, trial. He's hanging out in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. He's ran. He's done it his way. God's grace has pursued him and said, nope, this is my will for you. This is where you are. Jonah has a decision to make. Is he going to keep fighting or is he going to give up? Sometimes God puts us in a situation and makes us cry, uncle, give up, so we can cry, Abba, Father. Jonah is at a place where he has a decision to make. Grace has pursued him. Grace has done a work in him. God has taken him to an uncomfortable situation, and now Jonah must make a choice to surrender and follow God's plan. Would he turn around and run back to the arms of God, or would he continue running from God like he did in the first place? I wish I had a baseball bat here. We'll pretend we're going to have fun. This is probably all you're going to remember from this message in 2 hours from now. We're pretending this is a baseball bat, okay? Some of us view God like he's got a baseball bat in his hands. By the way, if you haven't pulled one of these up in your yard, you should do it. Anyways, he got a baseball bat in his hand. Whenever you walk, whenever you go the wrong way, wah! Get back! What are you doing? Some of us have had some maybe abusive relationships, maybe before. And it's easy to compare God to that relationship that we had, maybe from a male figure or something. It's easy to link them when really there's no reason to link that. And we run from God, and where we maybe do some things God doesn't want us, and we think that God's, get back! Why are you slipping? You didn't read your Bible. I'm bringing something bad in your life. And that's exactly the view that the devil wants to give you of a loving, grace-filled, amazing Heavenly Father. But when I look at the story of Jonah, and I look at how his grace pursued after Jonah, and God's grace rescued Jonah from his desires, from his own personal pursuits, from what he thought he needed when he really didn't need it at all. And God used that fish to intercede. And Jonah surrendered, and Jonah went to that city of Nineveh. And praise God, he preached the gospel, and the Bible says that 120,000 people put their trust in Jesus. The Bible says that the king of Nineveh, he was so adamant about people following God, he proclaimed a fast, not just for all the people, but all the animals. What did the animals do, for crying out loud? The people, he said, nobody's eating. You read it. I think it's Jonah 3. Nobody's eating. The animals aren't eating. Because that king was serious about getting right with God. And I found this. When you're following God, you always help other people follow him as well. When you're truly following the Spirit of God, you're always going to help other people. If you're not influencing people for Christ, it may be because you're not honestly following Christ. There's a couple people in this room. When God looks down in this room, he really sees two types of people. He sees people that have put their trust in Jesus and have been saved. That's a weird word, saved. It's in the Bible. And know for sure if they die, they go to heaven. And then there are those that the Bible says are lost and don't know for sure if they die, they go to heaven. This is what I'm going to ask you. If you would say, and you'd be honest and say, look, I don't know for sure if I die and go to heaven, I want you to know that God is pursuing after you. And God wants you to know for sure before you leave this room today. God's pursuing you. God has not brought you here by accident. And God wants you to know. Maybe you're a Christian in here. And you do know for sure. Maybe you've been slipping a little bit. Maybe God's brought some things to your life. I don't know. But I'm just saying this. Maybe you need to say, thank you for grace, God. Thank you for pursuing me. And maybe you need to give up and cry uncle. So later on, you can cry Abba, Father. Because when God rescues us from ourselves, and we surrender ourselves to him and truly follow God, not just lip service, but actions, it's amazing what God can do through our lives. Shall we have a word of prayer together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed?